Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to Storytime with Uncle John. That's me, Uncle John. Welcome back to the channel. Been a long, long time since the last recording. Yeah, a lot of stuff's happened. So took our usual winter trip after the holidays to Florida to work on stuff for my mom around her house and see her and, you know, thaw out a little bit. Ended up throwing my back out while I was down there. Mind you, this was not from doing the actual work around the place. You know, the only time I ever play golf is when I go down there to see her. She lives in a park where they have a golf course and everything, and I play with the other people there. We'll do a few rounds for the week while I'm there, and, you know, no big deal. Except for when I was playing my second round of golf, nine-hole course, mind you. I was playing my second round of golf, got about halfway through, and I was doing pretty good. I mean, not great, but good for a guy that only plays once a year. And driving off the third or fourth tee and threw my back out. I was down and out for over a month with that physically. Could not sit in this chair to do anything. Walking was tough. Sitting was tough. It was miserable. So that's one of the excuses I have for not being on the channel since then. One of the other ones is good old YouTube decided that my other channel, where I was reading other stories other than tech support, they decided that the new video format that I was doing was improper somehow, and I'm not sure how that was. I never could get to the bottom of it, and pretty much by now, it's probably too late. I don't think I can get monetization back on that channel, and they actually cut off a bunch of tools and everything else, just like I was brand new on that channel. Like, they just chopped it off at the knees. Not happy about it. Kind of got in my feelings a little bit and got disgusted with everything, and I think I'm over it now. Not really, but, you know, we're going to pretend. I'm just going to let the other channel go, and maybe I'll start another channel. But this one, this is my main bread and butter anyway. This is the crowd that I interact with and have fun with. And, yeah, so this is the one I try to concentrate on mostly anyway. So, hey, bottom line is I tried something. A million other people are doing the same thing as I was doing, and for some reason I got shut down for it. So, not shut down. I'm allowed to do the videos, but there's not much point. They start censoring, they start cutting off your monetization, and it just goes blah, blah, blah. Hey, it is what it is. We're just going to deal with it and move on. Anyway, today we're going to do some tales from tech support and lick our wounds and move on. No, you can't have the admin password, and no, your boss isn't going to overrule me. Been working at an MSP that services a few small clients. We got one who has a special user we'll call Bob. Bob is an older gentleman, thinks he knows everything. The client can't afford to fire Bob, regardless of what he screws up, because any screw-up is a drop in the ocean to the amount of profit he earns the client. I'm at the client's site for a routine checkup on their equipment. Client's explicit instructions, as well as our policy, is not to share admin passwords with client staff, including Bob. Bob comes up to me and asks, "Hey, I can't get Adobe to work right," referring to Acrobat. I tell him I could probably fix it, what seems to be the problem. Bob says, "I just want to install this tool instead," and takes me to some shady site. I tell him, "Sorry, I'd have to review the application before I install it." Bob says, "Okay, well, I have another issue. Whenever I try to do something on the server, it asks for an admin password." I said, "Okay, show me." Bob proceeds to go to the server share folder, browse to an installer for the application I just told him not to use, and then quickly opens it before I can get a good look at it. Bob says, "See, can you give me the admin password? I need this daily." Sorry, I can't do that. Let me see why you need the password. I close the UAC prompt to see the application was the same one I just told him no to. Bob gets furious and threatens to tell the client to cancel our contract. Problem is, our contract explicitly protects me from this kind of crap. Naturally, the client tells Bob to deal with it, and I go about my day. Bob still uses Adobe Acrobat. It's funny, this isn't just tech stuff. There are Bobs all over the world, and we run into them constantly, whether it's at the grocery store, in line at the bank. There's always that one Bob who thinks he's special and can just circumvent all the rules and, You know, everybody has to bow down to him like he's some sort of royalty. And it's not just a male thing, a female thing, a Karen thing, a Darren thing, whatever. There's just so many people in society. Oh, yeah, it's not a generational thing either. Everybody, you know, for a long time, people kept saying, damn, millennials. No, it's for some reason, there's a certain sect of people, and they're more noticeable these days because of social media, but they tend to think that they are just that special. Rules don't apply to them. For some reason, they have a special out. It has started becoming one of my guilty pleasures in life to tell these people just how special they are not. Just because your mama made you feel special doesn't mean you're special to the rest of society, so get over it. A complex issue that took three people and the highest escalation to be solved. I'm IT director for a multinational corporation, but I also take care of level 3 tickets. I oversee the ticketing platform myself, checking it a couple times a day to make sure that there are no outstanding requests that techs might be having trouble with, and evaluate the department's performance. We have techs on site at every site, and level 1 requests are generally handled locally, often in the local language. In case of escalation, level 1 techs add notes in English and recap for the level 2 to 3 to jump in from HQ. For a few days, I've been noticing an outstanding request about having trouble with the snipping tool. The ticket was in German, which I don't speak. After a couple days, the ticket has escalated to level 2 and picked up by someone who happens to speak German, so they went on in that language. After another day or two, the ticket has escalated to level 3, and since we have a few people who are not in that day due to an illness or holiday, although I was busy with a network diagram for a new deployment that we needed to complete soon, I don't like to see user issues dragging along. So I pick up the request. I had already eyed this ticket for some days. The other level 3 was also busy, and I didn't want the user to have to wait any longer. The note said, snipping tool not working, only takes fixed dimension 7cm snaps, need to reinstall. Now, that specific user works exclusively on the main RDS farm. They log randomly into one of 20 remote desktop hosts, and nobody else has raised tickets regarding the snipping tool. Also, computers don't think in centimeters, so something's up. The only thing that might be in common is the user's profile, but I can see from the troubleshooting notes that it had already been reset. With much contempt from the user, by the way. They had some files saved that the tech forgot to back up, so I also had to restore the deleted profile from backup. Once the lost files were restored, I jumped into a remote session with the user, with a tech present, since the user isn't very fluent in English. I said, so before I do anything, can you show me the exact issue? I'm having trouble understanding the exact problem with the translator. Tech says, so here you see we open snipping tool and the screenshot is always 7cm. He proceeds to take a few, taking a while between attempts as he manually opens the snipping tool from the start menu with a text search. Me, so I don't mean to be condescending, but are you aware that you can take snips with Win plus Shift plus S? Tech says, So I tell him, can you press together the Windows key, Shift, and S? The screen dims and I take a large snip spanning half the display. All together they say, ooh. Tech says, so this way works, maybe let me try. Key combination pressed, but again the dragging is cut short. You're on a docked laptop, right? Can you please try to take the screenshot from the trackpad? Tech says, but it's closed. I say, yes, just bear with me for a second. Open it, press the keys, and take a snap using the trackpad. The snap is, of course, as large as they take it. Me. Change the mouse, I'm disconnecting. 5 days, 3 people, a full profile rebuild with backup restore for a broken mouse. The cherry on top? I got a complaint for making the agent feel undervalued. Apparently they need better documentation and training to troubleshoot local versus remote issues. Will do. Okay, I know tech, and I know how to do snip from Windows Shift S. Also, you can't tell me that there weren't other issues coming up that were showing that something else was going wrong. Like, if my mouse, if the battery goes dead or gets slow, I know something's up with the mouse. If things don't click when I click them, if things don't open when I click them, I know something's up with the mouse. This is not rocket science. I mean, the most basic of techs should be able to figure this stuff out. So, yeah, big corporations, gotta love them. 2 weeks without destroying company property. Never mind. Yeah, so we've been 2 weeks in the IT department without needing to use the hard reset hammer. We were in the middle of celebrating it when we got an angry Teams call from a staff member dealing with a giant industrial office printer of all things. I took a unit of 3, not including myself, and brought the crash card up to accounting. This printer had to weigh around 300 empty. Pounds? Kilograms? I don't know. It had all sorts of annoying features and was who knows how old. If I remember correctly, it had 2 reserve paper stacks it could draw from. It could staple, three-hole punch, scan large amounts of paper, and could email the whole thing to your office. And it had a bad history with IT. It started with the 70 billionth paper jam in the most inconvenient spots imaginable. The unreasonably sharp plastic didn't help my or my colleague's hands either. We put it back together and we got a software error. We followed the manual that came with the beast and turned it off and on again. Now there was a jam somewhere else. We disassembled the machine all the way to the location of the jam and there was nothing there. Everything rolled freely. The sensor appeared to work and we put it back together. Paper jam in a different place. This continued for a grand total of 12 paper jams that didn't exist before the whole thing looped around again. Somewhere during that time, we lost a small screw in one of the gear sets. Fishing that out took a while, and one of my coworkers sliced the crap out of his thumb. He only left when one of the accountants nearly fainted at the sight of it. More software errors and an electrified screw later, we had it reassembled. General error. Call this number. Call the number and it's out of warranty. Person on the phone won't send anyone and can't help us fix it. Throughout that whole ordeal, the accounting department had become a powder keg, and we were reaching 4 p.m. on a Friday. Everyone needed to either print or scan something now. Suddenly, one of my colleagues puts his foot through one of the plastic panels in frustration. This gave me the idea of a lifetime. I got up, dusted the toner off myself, and gave my boss a call. I explained the situation and expressed the urgency of this needing to be resolved tonight. We went back and forth for a few minutes while the last two technicians chased errors. Then it hit me. I asked if we had any mini all-in-one office printers left in storage. We did. I told him to mark the ticket as resolved and I hung up. I turned to the infuriated office workers who were starting to shift the blame to us for being unable to help. I told them that they will be given a personal printer for each of their cubicles and it would happen before 4:30. The look of relief made my day. I told one of my colleagues to go grab the hard reset set. And I told the other one to grab all the printers from storage he could fit on the cart. For clarification, we have a set of four hammers of varying weight we use to destroy hard drives with company data on them. We call them reset hammers. When they get back, I grab the biggest hammer we had and landed a huge blow to the face of the beast. I pass the hammer and everyone takes a turn at giving that wretched machine what it deserved. The IT crew turned a blind eye and we set up everyone's personal printers. We kind of forgot that printer murder was going on in the background as we wrapped up our last installation. With a lot of convincing, we got our hammers back. We picked up the frame of that old hellish piece of junk, tossed it in the dumpster, and picked up the rest with a snow shovel. If you ignore the blood and toner on the ground, you may never notice it was missing. On that day, an ancient enemy was defeated. We gained the respect of the accounting department, and nobody missed their deadlines. We reset to zero. I'll give an update when the accounting department manager, who wasn't there that day, realizes that her favorite piece of office equipment is no more. I don't know how corporate policy handles that kind of thing. Most of the time, you can't even, you know, change paper without some sort of requisite or something. But it must have been so satisfying to be handed that hammer as one of the, accounting monkeys and say, you know what? Have at it. While in the background, somebody's setting up his personal copier printer in his cubicle. So yeah, there's some days I'd like to do that to every piece of technology in this house, but that's another story. Can't you make an exception? I work at a mine. We have a control network that is completely locked down. No internet, no USBs, unapproved, nothing. The only way into the network from the outside is through my or coworker's PC. Enter contractor trying to install or maintain some software for the dragline. This is a months-long project involving many departments, but on the software side, they needed logs for troubleshooting and needed to input patches and configs to the dragline. If they wanted anything, I would need to copy to my flash drive, move to the other side, copy onto PC. This process was tedious, but literally no exceptions. This contractor would complain every time, making subtle comments like, "Man, wish we could just connect to the drag line." After a couple weeks, he just came out and said, "Why can't we just connect to the drag line?" There was a back and forth for a while with me telling him repeatedly that the control network does not connect to the outside, and no, I won't make an exception. Yes, it's the same for everybody. No, I still won't make an exception. Yes, that includes your company. And no, I won't make an exception. Seriously, dude was driving me insane. Look, we all understand that, company and corporate policies, whether they're for security or just because some tight ass, likes the control, we know that there's nothing that can be done about that, and it does tend to make things take a little longer than they necessarily should, but every company has their reasons, every IT department has their reasons, whatever, and sometimes you just gotta follow it. But, if it's a no exceptions rule for everybody across the board, then why keep asking? Don't keep pushing, just, deal with it. Tired of being yelled at. I work in software support and have for 9 years. One of the four products I support for this current company is a giant headache. This product is a payment processor platform for parents to pay their students' school fees and add money to their lunch balance. I received a call from a parent last week that was charged 6 times for a $40 payment. She submitted the payment, received an error message, and it showed up as pending on her bank statement 6 times. Our payment reports don't show the payments, and the school doesn't see the money on their end either. I reached out to our back-end escalations team, and they told me not to worry. All these payments will fall off. The parent just called in today to let me know all the payments went through. The school doesn't see the payments on their reports, and neither do we. She did send me screenshots of all the posted payments on her bank statement. She then berated me for 30 minutes, screaming at the top of her lungs about how it's my fault she can't afford gas or food, and her child is now an outcast because they can't go on the field trip. Every single time I tried to speak to her, she just yelled and talked over me. She kept yelling about how she wants to know exactly what's going to happen to resolve this issue. I proceeded to tell her my exact next steps, which I actually did many times so I could get her off the phone. And then she yelled at me for telling her things that she doesn't care about, that she just wants her money back. Lol. Like what? Don't ask about my process and then curse me out when I tell you the process. Most times I do end up talking to an angry, yelling parent. They end up apologizing at the end about how they're sorry for cursing and raising their voice. Not this lady. Like, dang, I just work on the phones. It really isn't my fault you're broke and you have no friends or family that can give you gas money or food. I swear I try to be an empathetic human. I'm a single female living alone, making an average income. I understand life is hard and the bills keep coming. I just hate how people forget they're talking to a human on the phone. And I in no way directly caused the issue they're facing with our products. Anyways, I'm now scrolling on Indeed and will be applying for jobs. I'm absolutely done with working on the front end. Sorry guys, my heart rate's up and I just wanted to vent. Oh, I can relate to that. I get just how people can be. Calling and screeching and hollering and, you know, I love my wife, but she can be that way sometimes with people on the phone. I understand it's the person you're talking to right now. There's no one else to talk to scream at. You know, you can share your frustration without actually blaming the person who's on the phone with you. You know, I usually start by saying, listen, I know this isn't your particular fault, but your company, and I may, you know, blow off a little steam there, but I don't yell and scream at them. But if I feel the need, I will have things pushed up to higher up so that I can start yelling and screaming at them. Anyway, guys, glad to be back. Hopefully you're glad that I'm back. I've gotten a few emails and messages from people, and sorry I haven't responded to all of you. Things have just been crazy stupid around here, and yeah. But we're going to try to get back on track now, concentrate on one channel at a time, and have a little fun in the process. We are going to keep this more than just tech support, though. We're going to do other Reddit stories as well, but I think it'll be a good thing. All right, guys. Till the next one, we'll see you.